That was really good.
Oh, really? All right. Good afternoon. I'm gathering to order the Flood Resilience Committee of Mount Pleasant County Council for this Monday, June 6th meeting. Our agenda has been published before you. Item number two is approval of the minutes from the February 28th meeting.
Move for approval.
Second.
We have a motion, we have a second. No scribblers there, is it?
Not on this.
All right, not on that one.
This one was perfect.
Great. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, all right? Item number three is public comment. If you'd like to make a public comment, please come forward, give your name and address in 2.5 minutes. Any? All right, we will move on to item number four, which is review of possible action to accept federal grants. Sounds good. For stormwater improvements in the Hobcaw neighborhood and to perform a hazard townwide vulnerability analysis. Boy, that sounds pretty official. Who's going to be taking it from here?
I'll go ahead, sir. Thank you very much. The next slide is what I need. There it is. Okay. We have been fortunate, thanks to our federal partners, to receive money from them. One is for one of our prioritized drainage projects, that being Hobcaw, and the other is a townwide hazard vulnerability study. That's okay. But what it requires is y'all's acceptance and council's acceptance of the grant. The match money that is required as part of this, we have and will be budgeting for this project. So this is a big win for us, and ask that you please go ahead and consider it favorably.
Okay. Let me ask a question before we entertain the motion. Just for background and public information, it appears that all of our drainage fixes are on one side of town. So give us a little background on why that is.
Oh, gosh, sir. Well, do we have enough time?
The short version.
Well, much of the infrastructure is South Carolina Department of Transportation infrastructure. Much of it has existed for decades. The maintenance that perhaps should have been done over time was deferred, and as a result, it's created threats to risks, and in some cases, threats to property, in some cases, people.
Right.
And so, thanks to you, council, we've decided to venture into, although it's another jurisdiction's infrastructure, for the sake of our people, we've ventured into this area. Some of the worst basins, as you very well know, sir, are in the Old Village part of town, and we're picking them off one by one. This is also one of the top basins. I'm sorry, this quality over there. this one needs significant work as well. We've been applying, as you all know, there's a significant amount of federal money that's out there and available to some. With staff's help and some others, we're going after as much as we can. We've casted a wide net, and fortunately, some of the targets that we've gone after are starting to bear fruit.
Thank you. That was real succinct. Thank you. And remember, council, and what I think was a very wise move, when we did property reassessment, was that in 2020 or 2021 now? 2020 now.
Yes.
Two mills we put into our debt service, right? So that we can roll these projects along. We have a permanent funding source restricted to debt service so that as the infrastructure ages, as you go up 17, we will probably work our way all the way up and then just come back down this way. But we did not have a permanent funding source for that of any sort, and now we pretty much do. So we're not excluding any parts of town as we work on our drainage infrastructure. So I believe we need to entertain a motion. I think what's on our screen, is the actual details of the grant that you want us to approve accepting.
Yes, sir.
Okay. I'm looking for approval of the grant application and happy to speak a second.
Okay, we have a motion. Do we have a second?
Second.
All right. We have a motion and a second. Ms. Chapman, you have the floor.
Well, this is one of the projects that I heard about when I was running for council, and I know staff has worked on this very hard, and I want to congratulate them for their efforts on behalf of the citizens of Mount Pleasant and just keep working.
Thank you very much, and I would like to point out, we have a team that meets bi-weekly in all of our grants and reviews them. This particular grant was spearheaded by Amanda Knight, who I think is in the audience.
She's behind you there?
Behind me, she did a good job.
Amanda was also part of a countywide drill last week with catastrophes and stuff in a scenario, and I asked her, did any of us elected officials survive? I'm not sure we did.
I can tell you I survived, because on Saturday morning I did this day drill with State Guard that lasted for about 6 hours.
Wow, okay. Was that an earthquake as well?
No, we did the earthquake drill December 1st. We had State Guard put on a Zoom meeting statewide, and we actually had more National Guard personnel sit in with us, but that was another 4 hours worth of work. And earthquakes are certainly at the top of the list, but when we get on Saturday, happened to be Hurricane Martha, oh. Tabletop.
Okay. Any other discussion before we vote? All in favor of the motion, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The motion passes unanimously, and I want to thank everybody. Eric, you mentioned the weekly meetings. Is that the tally board that's in the large conference room? It's got all the grants across the way. Millions and millions of dollars that we're out there trying to get. Thank y'all for doing that to our staff.
Well, thank you, sir. If I could, I know it was a trip to Washington still up with Mr. Chapman. Senator Graham was instrumental in forwarding two of our earmarked requests to the funding agencies, one for Edward Basin and another for repairs at the Wanda Docks. Now, that's a major step. Whether they'll be ultimately funded or not, not sure yet, but that was a big, without that, it would have died.
Okay. Mayor, as we learned with Crabbank,
yes,
that makes a difference.
It really does.
It makes a difference. So thank you for forwarding that stuff to me.
All right, that completes item four. Item five is a staff presentation and update of draft environmental guidelines for land development. Mr. Kevin Mitchell.
Yes, sir.
How you doing?
Hey, Mr. Mayor, good to see you. Good to see everyone on the committee. Today we have an update to what we've been working on for quite some time. And I say we have a small team consisting of Amanda Knight, Marissa Polkney, Heidi Moser, which is our project manager. She's our environmental engineer in the town. And, she's been putting together this program that has been going on for quite some time now, Mr. Mayor. So to give you a little bit of a background and bring y'all up to speed, we began this well over 2 years, 2 years ago, going through the Planning Commission a number of times through a series of meetings. We've also presented this to an internal steering committee or a peer review consisting of our department managers and deputy directors within the town, and receiving a lot of very good positive feedback. And if y'all recall, back in February, we brought this before y'all as an introductory in February 2022. And since that time, we've been visiting, we've rolled it out as through our stakeholder meetings. We presented it to a handful of local engineering companies. We visited Dominion Energy, presented to them. Mount Pleasant Waterworks is also going to be very involved with this. We even presented it to one of our property owners, property managers at Town Center to get their feedback in. And it has been very well received. The last presentation we had was at Charleston County Chamber, one of their subcommittee meetings. And was well attended, and we received overall very good feedback. And Ms. Moser is going to touch on that today and let y'all know the results of all those meetings that we had. But our mission statement has always been the same: just to move the town forward in a manner that preserves and protects our natural resources through advancing town's environmental policies and regulations. We've always had that. We've also been guided by three main principles. One of those principles is to create a meaningful program that fosters positive change. We don't want to create a program that just is kind of a wink and a nod. We actually want to do something that is meaningful. The second guiding principle we have is to approach this in a public-private partnership manner. where we know that improvements to sites plans will be a cost to property owners. So right now, we're vetting and considering and running through different incentive packages that we will be bringing before you to offset that impact. So that's going to be very important to have good buy-in from property owners. And then the third one is to embrace the opportunity that Mount Pleasant has, which is to embrace the opportunity with redevelopment of commercial property. Okay, you'll see in this next slide, we've used this a number of times where it shows the green is the newer development, more located in the north. The reds, a lot of the older developments, 20 plus years, probably 30, 40 plus years, that does not contain a lot of the more standard infrastructure that is that's then put into the newer developments. And within this lower part, we're seeing a lot of redevelopment of property, not only commercial, but residential. But this program itself is targeted just to commercial property because we see a gap in an opportunity that we have where commercial property really contains all the impervious surface they'll have. And when they redevelop that property, the stormwater standards that are applied to that are only applied to the additional impervious surface. So what we're trying to implement is a program that actually instills low-impact development techniques and designs that would not normally be part of their redevelopment program. So I'm going to turn this over to Ms. Moser. She's going to take you through the rest of it.
Good afternoon. The last time we met, we introduced this idea of creating these environmental guidelines to really encourage low-impact development. Now, in creating these guidelines, we took a lot of our inspiration from the LEED certification program. We discussed this last time. It's leadership in energy and environmental design. It's a green building rating technique where they use credits to give ratings to different buildings. Now, one of the things we really liked about this program was their use of impact categories, essentially their goals for the program. With that framework in mind, we created our own impact categories. And these are something that we showed with you before. For the purpose of this presentation, I just added a little icon to associate with the impact category, just to help organize throughout the presentation. But for the first impact category, we have our raindrop. This is to protect, restore, and conserve natural water resources. So think of it in terms of our flood control, our stormwater management, but also our water usage. Potable water usage, both indoor and outdoor. Our second category, our CRAB, we have protect and improve ecosystem biodiversity. So think variety of plants and animals. When you improve biodiversity, you improve your adaptability, your resiliency, your productivity of an area. Our third category, our bicycle, we have improved community livability. So mobility, walkability, aesthetics, just general overall well-being. And then our last category, our light bulb, we have promote energy efficiency and sustainable material resources. So think the building itself, the materials used in your energy consumption there. So you can see our categories really do span the variety of environmental sustainability concerns. It's not just a stormwater program. It really is addressing all of these concerns. Now, after we met with you guys in February, we then went on to present this to various stakeholders. And our first group of meetings was our private sector engineering firm. So we have met with three different firms. And overall, the feedback was very positive. They were in support of this program. They thought our initiatives and our structure was very well laid out. They did raise concerns about the enforcement component. A lot of these low-impact development techniques do require continual maintenance in order to reap that benefit. And so ensuring we have a strong enforcement component will really be critical for the success of this program. They also suggested we look into the allowance of alternative services for parking lots. Given our current town ordinance, we don't allow pervious services for certain parking lots. So seeing if there's a way to incorporate that. And then they also do a parallel to the Charleston Rising Program and the LEED certification program. Charleston has a program very similar to LEED, but just focuses on the building. So we wanted to make sure we differentiated and had our program really encompass all of development.
Let me zero in on that real quickly before we go on. Got engineers sitting here beside me. I have been a big fan of that one about alternative services for parking lots for many reasons. One is to have pervious parking lots, and the other is just the heat of a blacktop parking lot in this area on a summer day. And Every time it has sort of been, I don't know that it's ever been, you know, proposed, but it's been kicked around. It's just difficulties with ordinances and that type of thing. So my question, you know, committee members and staff, is there a way to, can we get there from here? Could we get to where we could have, you know, alternative surfaces for parking lots within the town that meet code? And our engineering, you know, pass the engineering test and all, Kevin. I don't know. I'm a dreamer in that thing, I know. But I mean, you know, the Shem Creek area, all that is what, gravel? Our park plus the restaurants and all that. And it's not as bad as walking across a paved shopping center parking lot. So I guess I'm asking for feedback.
The answer is resounding yes, it's possible.
Okay.
She's gonna get into that.
Yeah, it's definitely possible. There's a way to engineer it so that it still has that aesthetic value. Because I know a lot of times when you think of gravel, it goes out into the road or it doesn't get contained, but there are ways that you can build a border around it that you can contain it, compact it, or use pavers. There's definitely a way around it.
And does it remain pervious when you get, you know,
you
to a certain level?
It.
Okay.
Yeah, you have to maintain it. If you use pavers, you have to vacuum it out every couple months, but there's a way to meet them.
Love it.
Yeah,
all right.
Great.
Thank
all
you.
Right. So that was the first section of feedback we received from these engineers. And then the second component of the feedback we received dealt with these incentives. So this is another component of the program where we really want to try to get developers to go above and beyond and make sure we're not putting any of that financial burden on them. And so that's where these incentives come in. And these were just suggestions that they gave to us. We took them, and I'll explain a little bit later what we did with them. But these were some of their suggestions: impact fee credits, expedited review, increased density, height increase, mixed use allowance, flexibility with the offers. We just took that feedback, and I'll explain a little bit. But that was the first round of feedback we got. Then we met with our utilities, and that was Mount Pleasant Water Works and Dominion Energy. Mount Pleasant Water Works was very excited about this program, and they actually wanted to participate in it and have a good contribution to this program. So they suggested we rename one of our impact categories to incorporate water conservation, which you did see with that first category. They also recommended some water conservation techniques that we incorporate. And some of those include setting irrigation timers for off-peak hours and days. This is something that is very easy to implement and has a really big impact on MPW. It helps with their energy usage and even helps them save some money. And then the second thing they suggested was installing rain detectors on irrigation systems. Once again, something very simple: don't irrigate while it's raining. It's something everybody can implement. And then we also discussed the Water Smart program, which really surrounds these initiatives and paperless billing, allows you to track your water usage, see when where you can make improvements. Then with Dominion Energy, once again, very positive response to this program. A lot of the LID techniques we already had incorporated into our program fall closely in line with their electric vehicle strategy and energy resiliency portfolio. So they really like that we already had those implemented. They also suggested we offer points for installing smart controls on outdoor light fixtures. It's basically just a device you put on their outdoor lights and allows you to control them, dim them, turn them on and off. And then they even mentioned that they are looking into offering future incentives for installing electric vehicle charging stations. So that's something they're currently working through. Now, our last group of stakeholders that we met with the Charleston Chamber and the BCDCOG. So the Charleston Chamber was presented at the Regional Policy Committee meeting, and their feedback really centered around this idea of the cost of the program. Some of these LED techniques are just like simple swaps. It won't cost you anything, but there are some of them that will require that upfront cost and continual maintenance. And so we want to make sure that we are considering the cost to implement and the benefit that you will receive, and really dive deeper into those incentives to see if there's a way that those incentives can offset that. And then our last stakeholder meeting was with the BCDCOG Stormwater Management Committee. And this feedback really centered around that enforcement component, because they are bringing that municipality perspective. So making sure we build a strong enforcement program so that the environmental program can be successful. Now, after we met with all these stakeholders, we then took the feedback and sifted through it. And one of the first things we did is we sorted through the incentive feedback, because that was going to be really critical for this program. And what we did is we separated the feedback out between what is complementary and not complementary to the program. And when I say complementary, I mean complementary in terms of it supports our initiative with encouraging low-impact development. So not only are these techniques that will motivate developers, but it also helps to offset any of that burden that may come from whether it's financial or just the design. Because if you think about some of these LID techniques like a pond, that takes up key developable area. So you're sacrificing on your design. We don't want to make anybody do that. And so we want to structure our incentives in a way that will help mitigate any of that burden. And so what we have in our complementary column, we have buffer with flexibility, dual use of buffer. So this allows that variability with your buffer, allows putting like your rain garden or your bioretention inside your buffer. We have increased height. If you think of a pond, it takes up your space. So if you can go vertical, you can still get the same development and the same design out of that. Alternative surface material for parking lots, like we mentioned, allowing that parking lot to be used for your retention, your detention. And then in our non-complementary column, we have town recognition or PATS. Our stakeholders really said this is not something that motivates developers. Yes, it's great, but it doesn't really get them to go above and beyond. Stormwater utility fee reductions. Our stormwater utility fees are so low that a reduction is only saving like a couple hundred bucks. It doesn't really offset anything. Mixed use allowance. Developers said if they want it, they most likely usually can get it, so it's not really something that they really need or want. Expedited review. The town already has one of the fastest review processes in the area, so there isn't really a way to make it more efficient without sacrificing on the quality. Increased square footage of signage. Once again, it's not a big motivator. And then impact fee reductions. This doesn't really correspond to environmental sustainability. It's more of an economic development thing, so it doesn't really correspond to what we're trying to get out with this program. Now, the next part of sorting through this feedback was to really refine our point distribution and making sure that our list of LID techniques provided enough variety for developers to pick and choose. So this is a graphic that we shared with you last time. I'll just go through it briefly so you get a sense of how the program is structured. But we have our LID techniques on the left side. These are just four examples. We have a list of about 30 right now. And if we take, for example, renewable energy sources, think wind or solar. What we did is we took each one of our LID techniques and we ranked it, we provided a ranking high, medium, or low across our impact categories for relative association contribution. So for renewable energy sources, you can see there's nothing in the first two columns because that doesn't really associate with water or the ecosystem. That's not really the goal of our wind or our solar power. In our third column, we have a low ranking. Improving community livability because renewable energy sources are a cleaner energy form, so it does help improve that well-being. And then in our last column, we have high because that is essentially the goal of renewable energy sources. You're promoting that energy efficiency. So that's sort of the thought process we went through as we went through our list of LID techniques. And then we took that ranking and we assigned it a point value. So a high was worth 15, a medium was worth 10, and a low was worth 5. And so this is just a snapshot of what that looks like. We have an Excel spreadsheet. And if you go to the last row there, you'll see that renewable energy sources. You'll see zeros in the first two columns, a 5, and then a 15. So just seeing how that corresponds. And this just provides you with another glimpse of some other techniques that developers can incorporate into their site. You can see that NPW irrigation conservation practices there, pollinator gardens, really that variety. And to better illustrate that variety, I'm going to just teach you two quick examples of what this would look like on site. So this first example is a smaller example. It's a pickle palette, a little restaurant, Coleman and Hibben. They have a building, and then they have outdoor dining area, which is currently pervious surface. It's mulch. So let's say, hypothetically, they wanted to install a standard concrete patio, so impervious surface. That wouldn't earn any points, and their site right now does not have any points. So instead of a standard concrete patio, they could put permeable pavers in instead, and that would earn points in the first three categories. They could also install a rain barrel for irrigation, capture some of that storm water, use that to irrigate their landscaping. Those two simple techniques would earn 65 points. So you can see there's a simple swap, techniques you can implement. Now, a larger site example, if you look at the Bowman Place Shopping Center, big building, big parking lot, right along Shem Creek. Their site, as it stands out there today, they only have three manufactured water quality treatment devices. So those are used to filter out pollutants and capture debris. That would earn 2 points in the first two categories, so that's all their site has. So some other techniques that they could implement, they could expand their tree canopy, plant more two extra trees. They have some lovely green space right there, so they have room to plant these trees.
They can install a pollinator garden and provide native vegetation that attracts your bees, your butterflies, your birds, very important for our ecosystem. They can designate parking spaces near the entrance for carpool, hybrid, and electric vehicles. This is just a simple sign, designated parking. It's not easily enforced, so it's not worth a lot of points, but it does get that message across that we're encouraging alternative modes of transportation. They can install fire retention areas similar to town hall parking lot. These areas help with additional water treatment. They also improve the aesthetic and break up some of that concrete and asphalt. And then finally, they can install cutoff light fixtures for parking lot lights, so really a light pollution reduction technique. All of those techniques, you can see there's a lot more involved from the pickle pallet example. That would earn 185 points. So you can really see that comparison between 65-point site, 185-point site. It really is a manner of providing that opportunity and that variability and techniques so that developers can pick and choose the best for their site.
I was in that parking lot Saturday. It was hot. I'd love to see. Talking about other people's property, but a nice gravel parking lot there would feel a little more comfortable.
Especially next to Chum Creek.
Just a little short time there, but I think you can tell us a lot of excitement by staff on this. We've been working on it a long time, and I think it's equally felt by our council. We've been listening to the stakeholders, we'll continue to listen as we develop the final incentive packages, and more importantly, we're going to listen to you and what's important to council. So the next steps that we have coming up are really to refine and vet that point distribution system. That's probably more an internal staff thing, but when it comes to the more examples, some prototypical, some real life examples, actually one that's probably going to go through the development process in the next 6 months, we're going to mock that up for you. See, so you can really understand what we're talking about as potential applications on site. And then lastly, really the most critical one is this has to be kind of a win-win situation. It is a private public partnership type of arrangement where we want to see the benefit from the town and the citizens. The private sector is also going to want to see some of those offsets also. So that's where we have a give and take type scenario that we're going to talk through with you. So those are the next steps, really focusing on that incentive package next.
I appreciate it. I think it's good work. I can feel the excitement. A question I have before council members weigh in, whatever, is are there municipalities that have some prototype programs like this that might be similar to Mount Pleasant? I mean, we might go all over the country and find some that we have nothing in common with. I get it. But.
Yeah, that's what our first step was when we went about this process, and we couldn't really find anything that combined that incentive component with the requirement component. Everything was either voluntary, and we'll give you like reduction on your stormwater fees, so it was nothing that was really substantial. The closest comparison we had is really to the Charleston Rises program. But theirs is really focused on the building and your components of your built structure, not your site development.
Right. Okay. So if we do this and adopt this, I mean, this is going to be kind of a trailblazing thing for our region, right?
Yeah.
Yes, sir. And to your point, this is somewhat specific to the Lowcountry area, and we're trying to develop a program that is really tailored to our to what we can offer and what we can get. So I think it's going to be a very successful program. And we want it to be not something that's just put on a shelf, and we want it to be used and applied in almost every development scenario. So that's why we basically raised the bar on LID techniques to a minimum and then said, hey, we'll give you some other things if you can achieve these incentives to accrue points. So it makes a lot of sense on both sides.
Okay. Committee members? Mr. Child?
I'd just like to thank the staff for working on this. The parking lot at Bowman Road is a great example to use. I mean, that helps to sell this program. And, just a few things done there could make all the difference in the world. So thank you for all your efforts, and keep at it.
Tellers?
Do you want to bring back? Just a question is something that Ms. Hyatt and I have been discussing, and we were just wondering if this would be a good place to maybe add to the study, but it's the whole concept of ponds and when does a pond become an ecosystem and when do we step in and protect that ecosystem? I was just wondering, what are your thoughts on maybe possibly adding this to this?
We can definitely look into it. And I know there's, when you look at a stormwater pond, there's different components to it, different extents to what a developer wants to go. You can put floating wetlands in them. You can add living shorelines, littoral shelves. You can definitely make it into an ecosystem. So that's definitely a component we can add. We can add that as a criteria. And if you get more points, if you take that on and just being a hole of water into something that's more developed as an ecosystem.
And then we as council could maybe put in some consequences if you don't, right? So that's how that would go. So we could go at it from a positive way with you guys, right, earning points, and then we could come in like the hammer.
I know, but if you don't do that, this is what's going to happen to you. Okay, I like that.
Again, I'm so impressed by your presentation, the work that you guys have done. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Ms. Hyatt?
I was just going to reiterate what Ms. Chloe was saying. I know we've got so many retention ponds in town, and the animals and things have come to it, and we don't really have anything to protect that. I think they can freely fill them in if they put underground drainage on it. So I'd like to look at, once those things are established, that we take care of them.
Okay. Let me ask, what's our timetable looking like as we move forward? Like finding and vetting, you know, the point distribution system and all of that. What are y'all working on? We want to help. We don't want to be in the way, but we want to help.
Yeah. So I think the next step that we're hoping to do is go through those prototype projects. So we are working with a consultant engineering firm to generate some examples that we can present to you, just to help vet that cost to implement these techniques, as well as the benefit they can receive, and then that incentive component to see if we can push it further.
Okay.
We're trying to meet the July committee, so in 1 month to have that prototypical in front of you, so we can. I mean, this is excellent feedback that we've seen already.
Okay.
And when you get a real life example, we'll get even more. So mm-hmm. that's our intent. And then, as long as we can fairly quickly come to some agreement on the incentives and how it's structured, then it's just a matter of finalizing the ordinance.
Okay. Yep. You all good with that?
Yes, sir.
Thank you. And speaking of stakeholders and all, I want to thank Nicole Bates from Mount Pleasant Waterworks for being here. And have I missed anybody else? Maybe I'm not recognized, but appreciate you being here. Thanks a lot. Is there anything else? I think that finishes item number 5 on our agenda. If there is nothing else, one quick question. Are we going to put out the news today about the, or does this have to go to the full council about the alcohol change grant and the acceptance?
Full council.
Full council, so that'll be a week from now. Okay. All right. I know people are anxious to get it. Anyway, thank y'all very much. There being no further business, we stand adjourned.
Thank you.